minds sometimes stutter. This is the first in a series of posts where I'll try to make sense of bits of life. In the past, I often tried to do that politically, as a socialist. I remain a socialist, and I'll happily discuss with anyone why they should be a socialist too. But here, mostly, I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. I've called this first post in the series, Our Minds Sometimes Stutter, because I had to begin it again and again. Once I'd written a few words, I'd think, is that really what I want to say? Is that how I want to begin? I'd also thought of other titles like A Beginning That Was Always There and Always Beginning. So perhaps it's time to give in to my own mind stuttering and begin again. This is the first in a series of posts where I admit I'll never make complete sense of life, but I'll always try. In the last year and a half, three people important to me died. Bob Thompson, my father-in-law, was 81 years old. Alice Duke, my mum, was 78. And Andy Armstrong, a friend and comrade, was 52. How is anyone supposed to make sense of friends and family dying? Of course, there are answers and words, but how can words mend huge holes in our lives? Certainly, words can sometimes help to slowly heal the hurt we feel, and words can help us to remember people. That's good, because then we can sometimes put death in its place. For a while, death cannot take away all that we knew of a person. When we remember someone who's died, we take back pieces of life from death. If we always remember people, death is diminished. Several years ago, my mum gave me her PhD thesis. I have it in front of me now. It's dated 1992, so she would have been 52 years old when she finished it. After a lifetime of bringing up four children, sometimes working as a cleaner and at other times as an auxiliary nurse, battling demons from a hard childhood, playing the piano, and then being a mature student, as my dad was too, and eventually writing her thesis called Conflict and Resolution in the Poetry of Thomas Hardy. I took one look at the title and placed the thick block of paper on the bottom shelf of a bookcase, and I forgot about it. After I came back to Dundee on the day of my mum's funeral in Edinburgh, which was in a small or a vast crematorium, I'm not sure which, I went to the bookshelf and lifted out the heavy thesis. I skimmed the pages. I was suddenly shocked. Many of the ideas echoed ideas I'd thought about and tried to write about for years, like this one. It would appear that language is required in order that sight of a world external to the self might be mutually understood in society. But there is an aspect of language which is always hidden from others, that of the silent inner voice, which, while appearing to make sense of our external view, at the same time offers us our own personal vision that at times may go beyond logical analysis. I've always had a fascination about language and how we learn about the world outside of us, all the time listening to our internal voice, which sometimes stutters. I do not remember ever discussing this with my mum. In her thesis, she goes on to quote neurologist and writer Oliver Sacks, who wrote marvellously about our brains and the creative power and the tricks they play out on us. Reading my mum quoting Sacks made me smile, and I took down books by Sacks from a bookshelf. These are books I've read, but I looked at them again, as if for the first time. I've also begun to read the poetry of Thomas Hardy.